I'm Ed Rose, and this is a special edition of Citizen Kane. Today's program, available only on 101.7 WXZY Radio, remembers the great pop bottle shortage. In the mid-1950s, Hilltoppers were slugging down soda pop at a record pace. Local bottling companies sprung up throughout the region to keep thirsty Kane residents in steady supply of Dr. Pepper, 7-Up, Hires, Coca-Cola, and every other sugary, fruity, bubbly concoction that marketers could conjure up. Pop tasted better then, the old-timers said. There were no plastic bottles or aluminum cans, and a 16-ounce Coke bottle was as heavy as a brick. There was room enough in the local pop market to support several local bottlers, including Hires root beer operator Smokey Flieger. Demand was high, vending machines became commonplace, and new products like Pepsi and Orange Crush became popular practically overnight. Despite booming sales, the pop industry was ready for a fall on the hilltop. By 1960, local pop merchants were plagued by vanishing bottles, claiming that more than 12,000 had been sold and had never returned. Despite passing along deposit fees to their customers, this weak link in the supply chain brought bottlers to the brink of insolvency. The Kane Republican is full of liner and display ads from this era, promising cash and other swag to kids to mobilize their efforts to alleviate shortages. The Dr. Pepper bottling plant offered 2 cents for all Dr. Pepper, Hires, and Circle A bottles, and 5 cents for large Hires bottles. You could get cash plus a free comic book with 10 bottles returned to the company's Commons plant at the rear of Fraley Street. Retailers like Vinci's Grocery and Austin's and Walker's Dairy also accepted bottle returns from kids, often in exchange for a pocket full of penny candy or a pack or two of baseball cards. Once youngsters were able to return the bottles themselves for instant remuneration, great headway was made in addressing the perplexing pop bottle problem. An entire generation of kids became more streetwise upon learning how to turn pop bottles into profits. In the spring of 1969, I began my frequent route with my red wagon in tow, collecting bottles as I walked from the Kane Depot along the tracks to the Poplar Street Bridge. From there, I hauled my radio flyer along a well-worn path up to the street level, passing Meckley's feed store on the way to Walker's Dairy. I'd collect my cash and make my return trip along the other side of the tracks, gathering more bottles on the way home. In my sights was the purple Huffy Banana bike I had seen at Cliff's Sporting Goods shop on Elk Avenue. There was a shining showroom there at the small shop, and I can smell the new rubber on those bike tires even today. It was the vision of that shiny purple bike that kept me on my bottle route into the summer of 1969. I don't remember how much money I ultimately earned towards that fancy $40 bike, but at most it must have been about $20. As a reward for my efforts, my grandfather took me to Cliff's to look at that bike again and to make sure that it was still there, even though I told him that I didn't have enough money to buy it. I grabbed the coins that I had rolled in a couple of $5 bills and held my breath when we walked in. I rode that shiny bike home that summer day back in 1969, and I have never forgotten the great pop bottle shortage. Well, that's all for now, friends. Please send your comments and story ideas to citizenkanepa@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.